people can hear you coming from around the corner. Eventually, everyone left to let me rest, but I was still too wired from all the excitement to do any napping, so I picked up my brand new binoculars to get a better look at the Grand Sky's grounds. It took me only a second to realize that I didn't just have a great view of the slopes and the valley. I also had a clear view of a lot of the other rooms. The hotel part of the lodge was horseshoe-shaped, and from where we were, I could see all the other rooms on the front side of the lodge, along with some of the private cabins spread out on the hill below. It was getting late in the day, and I'd meant to watch the last ski runs before the sunset, but the view of the other rooms proved too tempting not to investigate. I couldn't ski, or hike, or ice skate on the frozen pond, or most of the other winter activities the lodge offered, but you didn't need to be able to walk around to sleuth. I just had to figure out what I was sleuthing for. The pipeline controversy seemed like a good prospect, but it wasn't like anyone had been kidnapped or anything. Then again, there were the death threats against Grant and Leach that Jackie had told us about. Now that was a promising angle. After all, it doesn't get much more serious than a death threat. One of the people who made the threats could be staying at the lodge. I kind of had an obligation to conduct at least cursory surveillance. That's what I tried to tell myself, at least. Nope, I scolded myself. No snooping without probable cause. I was lowering my binoculars when I caught sight of two men arguing in one of the second floor corner suites on the opposite side of the horseshoe. My hands slowed down instinctively as Archie and Grant came into clear focus. Now this was directly relevant to the death threat case I'd just assigned to myself. If Jackie was right, and someone had been threatening Archie and Grant, a good way to get a bead on suspects or their motives would be to observe their victims. As co-owners of the resort that was standing in the way of the pipeline being built, they were both in the pipeline proponent's crosshairs, which meant they could both be in danger. The binoculars were pretty powerful, but I was still too far away to read their lips. It was obvious that they were both pretty worked up, though. It wasn't shocking that there was tension between Archie and Grant, especially after the surprise Archie had dropped in his opening ceremony comments about wanting to turn the land around the lodge, including the disputed sliver of land needed by the pipeline, into a permanent nature preserve that would stop the pipeline in its tracks. Grant was in the tricky position of not only opposing the pipeline as an owner of the lodge, but also as a state politician not wanting to offend the constituents who supported it. And it looked like Archie had just made that job a lot harder. It was hard to tell who was angrier at whom, though. Archie was waving his hands and Grant was waving a document. He tried to force it into Archie's hands, but Archie pushed it away and stormed out. I could see Grant throw the papers down and sit in a chair after Archie marched out. It was tempting to try and read into what the argument might be about, but it really could have been about anything. They were business partners on the opening day of their company's biggest, and from the way it sounded at the opening ceremony, riskiest investment. And they both had a lot riding on its success. No wonder they were tense. The argument could have been over financing or which brand of recycled toilet tissue they were buying for all I knew. What I did know was that I was tired. Knock, knock. I woke up to a fist knocking on my suite door a couple of hours later. I must have fallen asleep in the wheelchair. The butler did it! I shouted in confusion from somewhere deep in dreamland. I cleared my throat. Who is it? Dinner time, sleepyhead! Liz's voice shouted from the other side of the door. I heard that fancy pants chef you were talking about has...